This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6 a.m. and good morning and welcome to the Morning Run on this Monday, 15th of April. You're with Julian Ng, Lin Mark and Charles Abdullah. How are you guys this morning?
Very good, Julian. Thank you very much.
Yes, likewise.
Welcome back from the weekend. I'm sure you had a good one. And we're going to have, as usual, at the 6 a.m. hour, interesting discussions for you. I'm sure we got a good lineup today, guys.
Yep. So I don't know about you, but I got a video via my WhatsApp over the weekend. And that was I guess that video went viral. Mm-hmm. So it's about an unhappy customer that went on the extreme to show his frustration over, you know, a home that he bought. I'm not going to name it, but, you know, it's quite extreme. So that includes smashing of tables. So we're wondering how far would you go of, you know, with you, with your complaints and also being an activist?
Okay.
So we're also, it's a really,
I'm sure we all saw that video before the Facebook was down.
Yeah, so aside from that, we also have, so the tech industry particularly is quite famous for a sort of an overtime culture, right? So we hear stories about things like Elon Musk sleeping on the floor of his factories, particularly tech company employees dying from overwork. So now Jack Ma has joined the chorus of voices normalizing this kind of thing. So we are going to have a little bit of a discussion around that.
Okay. And we'd love for you to join the discussion. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And coming up next, we'll also discuss a possibly new challenger for Netflix. And here's Soldier of Love by Pearl Jam, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is Morning Run, and that was John Mayer with New Light. You're with Julian Ng, Lin Mark, as well as Sharis Abdullah. Now, with all these terms, like cutting the cord, over-the-top entertainment, these are some buzzwords as we've seen over the past decade to describe the situation of cancelling your Astro. And so enter Netflix. From a few years ago, you had a way to express that sentiment, and now Disney has confirmed joining in the fray as well with their new streaming service.
I look forward to it. Absolutely. I mean, Disney cartoons for the kids, some family shows for the, you know, for the mom and dads, Friends, Fox. I mean, and, you know, fraction of the price. I mean, yeah, slightly less than Netflix what you're paying for it now. So something I'll consider.
I'm extremely excited, less so for the cartoons as for things like more Marvel shows and more Star Wars shows.
Yeah, Marvel was good.
Yeah, because I think they a while back, so Disney confirmed things like they'd have a Cassian Andor spin-off on their Disney Plus. They're also going to be having a Hawkeye spin-off, so I'm looking forward to it. So I'm definitely, that's $7 a month already bookmarked for Disney Plus.
So do you think this will spell further the death of cable services as we know it? Do you think this will drive people to cut off their Astro in droves?
Yeah, I would think that this is going to put Astro, you know, give Astro a run for its money, absolutely. But I think, again, it's just going to be the same thing. Those who are going to continue holding on to Astro are probably those individuals that watch football. Mm-hmm. I'll stick to it because I'm familiar to it. My parents are familiar to it. So maybe the basic channels.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I watched Astro, that I turned on Astro for anything other than background noise. So,
oh no.
Yeah, because I don't have a smart TV, so I can't watch Netflix on my TV. So that's...
Have a smart TV?
I don't, so I just watch Netflix. I actually have Netflix open on my laptop and then Astro
it's open like a permanent
on the TV.
Tab.
Yeah, kind of, you know, it's just playing like National Geographic. I'm not really paying attention to it. So yeah, I think it will definitely turn me off Astro completely.
Nat Geo is also one of the channels
exactly.
Under Disney as well.
Yeah.
Really very much looking forward to that. But I also think that I'm just wondering whether the other channels will come into Astro's home ground as well. For example, a lot of these sports channel, right, can actually stream directly to people as well. And all the Chinese films, I mean, in due course, you know, which is one of the mainstays of Astro as well, they could come in and offer streaming services as well.
There's actually a growing number of Chinese dramas as well as Korean and Japanese dramas on Netflix now. I was quite surprised when I discovered that they have a lot of really interesting long-running Chinese serials. So I can't really see where Astro has the advantage in that arena anymore with Netflix coming into
that. I think it's more of a force of habit for Astro because our grandmothers and our grandaunties have not gotten used to just browsing Netflix to get their favorite show. So for now, that is the territory of Astro. But I wouldn't be surprised if Walleye Toy, for example, comes in with a direct streaming service. Or maybe not, because they have these million-dollar deals with Astro.
Yeah, but you guys, you must not forget that we are on the verge of having digital tax imposed on all of us. So that's going to probably make things a bit more expensive. I'm sure there are people out there who be, you know, at the end of the day, will start deliberating whether or not, hey, look, all the streaming services, in comparison to
Astro, you can share the account. You can split the cost, right?
There you go.
Four accounts, four names to one account.
Technically, you're supposed to share it with people in your household, Julian.
That's right,
you're not
that's
supposed
right.
to like, syndicate it to
It's kind of like scalping, right? You can actually get you can get a Netflix account and sell it for cheaper to the other guys. Yeah, but with a slight inconvenience.
Yeah, and you know, this is going to be dangerous for Astro as well. I mean, Astro, as you know, football, you know, I was mentioning about football earlier, and the premiums of trying to get that broadcasted is expensive, right? And I think they rely not just revenue coming from those who subscribe to sports. I mean, they need a comprehensive sort of package, you know, from the customer to subscribe. So, I mean, if people are going to stop subscribing for movies, all this, you know, the series and so forth, make it bare minimum and just sports, I don't know. It's going to put them, there's going to be a lot of costs being, you know, burdened on them, and then whether or not they can still continue with the football channels.
But I think Astro has also tried to respond with that with Enjoy, which is their pay-per-view service, which I think would be more amenable to a lot of people. Like, I wouldn't mind paying per view for example, Game of Thrones, which is going to start tonight, and some of the sports shows. I don't have a full subscription to Astro. I wouldn't mind paying per view, and perhaps that's a kind of strategy. But how much it will dislodge the revenue and profits of Astro, the business model, the very business model of Astro itself, is a totally different question for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does Enjoy have that Netflix doesn't? Because I don't really know much about Enjoy. So I don't really see that it will offer that much more of an advantage.
So Enjoy has a basic sort of channels, which is the 1, 2, 3, 7 and so forth. And so all the rest of the other programs are pay-per-view. For an example, football will probably cost you about 3 to 4 ringgit for you to watch per day or for the weekend or something, which at the end of the day, like Julian was saying, is like, hey, look, I'm not going to watch football every day. It's just probably the weekends and maybe just some games. $3 is not too bad.
Yeah, is it $3 or is it more?
$4. I think
that's totally affordable.
There you go. That's right. I mean, it's not all games that you want to watch at the end of the day, right?
And it's mobile as well, so you can carry it around with you wherever you go.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the name of the game today, right? All right. You can, as usual, join in the discussion by WhatsApping us or tweeting us. And we'll be coming back with Jack Ma and his Everyday Hell. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Blue and Lonesome by Rolling Stones. And you're with The Morning Run. We are not so blue and lonesome. Julian, Lin and Sharad's here with you. Unless you're talking to Jack Ma, because according to this billionaire, if you work at his company, Alibaba, you need to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. He told an internal meeting that Alibaba doesn't need the, you know, run-of-the-mill employees who are just looking for a balanced lifestyle and working for a 9-to-5 job. I think the subtext of it and the broader message of this is that Jack Ma wants this message to go out into the world to apply to all companies.
First of all, Julian, I'm glad you're not lonesome this morning, because it means that Sharit and I are doing our jobs, keeping you company.
I love you guys.
With regards to Jack Ma, though, so my first thought reading...
I wouldn't mind spending 12 hours a day with you guys.
Oh, that's so sweet, Julian. Thank you so much for that.
Barf.
Yes, not...
Okay, yes, but with regards to Jack Ma, the first thing I thought of reading this article is that Jack Ma is... Sounds completely like the type of person who refuses to pay his interns because he expects them to earn
sounds
experience.
Sounds like a sociopath, if you ask me.
No, because it, it very much sounds like he's saying that it's a privilege to work in Alibaba.
Yeah.
It means that employees, you know, should not prioritize their own well-being over the well-being of the company. And that, yeah, that to me is an automatic no. I'm not, I would never do this. I mean, I have my, I am the first to admit that I have terrible working habits. You know, I frequently find myself working until 5 o'clock in the evening. And considering we start work at 5 a.m., that's a 12-hour day.
You fit right in. You fit right in.
But, you know, that's my own choice rather than something that I'm pressured into doing by the senior management. I feel like working in this kind of a company would be really oppressive.
Yeah, so I mean, 12 hours is a nightmare, and then, you know, dismissing family work life balance is for me is outrageous. Because number one, I mean, we have individuals who want family. I mean, that's one of their life choices, and I still can't emphasize that, you know, can't stop emphasizing that sometimes in looking at China's birth rate as well. I mean, this is not something that they should be.
That's a good point. That's a good point, whether you have time to have family or not. And he actually called this out, right? The balanced life believers. You know, this is not the place for you because there is a, he coined this thing, right? I'm not sure whether he coined it or he endorsed it. The industry notorious what is called 996 work culture, which means 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week, 996. It's going to be impossible to start or maintain a family with that.
But then if you look at the general demographics of tech companies tend to attract younger employees, some of them, you know, singles. So I can imagine that the number of people who would go into it already having a family would be a lot fewer than in other industries. But then it's also discouraging people from having a life outside of work. Call me a balanced life believer if you must, but that's not helpful.
Okay, but so the tech industry is not a new industry, and many people are in it. It's a major employer of people across the world, not only in China, but, you know, in Silicon Valley, in New York, in London, everywhere in the world. Why do people do it, right? And Lynn, you mentioned earlier that you just do it naturally, like stick in the office for 12 hours.
Because I procrastinate.
Okay. You should say you're passionate about this. What if there is that a good thing for people to have? Perhaps people want to do this, and perhaps Jack Ma is trying to bring out the passion in people to be willing to work all that, you know, spend their lives in the office.
That's impossible, Julian.
Is it? Because people actually do it.
I know, they are. So you got many different type of people out there. Some are able to work 12 hours. Some may not be. You know, some need more sleep than others. It's just so unique. But the point I wanted to put across is that tech right now, is, like you said, is not new and it's about to grow. I mean, there's going to be a lot more companies that are going to be tech in the future. And if they set this sort of culture, I think this has to be included in the trade.
Tech is the new banking. Mm-hmm. And we're going to wonder what's the new tech, right? Because the reason why they spend so much time in the office is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. They want to become multimillionaires. And many of them are. Many of these tech people, tech employees are very, very rich.
Have you also heard the phrase? So, hustle while you're young.
Yes.
Yeah. So I can imagine that this would be something that the tech industry would encourage, because if you're young, you don't have a family, you can afford to court burnout, I want to say, but also you can afford to work 12-hour days because you don't have other commitments, you don't have a spouse or children waiting for you at home, so you can use that time to build your career, I guess. But then at the same time, it's not sustainable, is it? Because if you're working, let's say you start at a company like Alibaba when you're 25. By 35, you're going to be really, really exhausted.
Burnt out. Totally
completely
burnt out.
And then you're supposed to start a family. So, you know, it's
no way.
No.
Okay, we're coming up to the 6:30 news now. And after that, millionaire gone berserk in his property. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. And that was Where Is My Mind by Pixies. You're with Julian Ng, Lynn Mark and Charles Abdullah. Now, we're looking at a video that has gone viral. And it's about this millionaire, everyone supposes, because he's rich enough to make that video, of a guy who bought a property and became terribly dissatisfied with the purchase. And he went around just ransacking the apartment or the property that he bought, trying to send a message to the developer. And to me, when I saw this and I thought, you know, what a great guy. I have felt that many times in buying products. But also the question of whether how far I want to bring my own personal activism and consumer dissatisfaction, you know, how far do we want to bring it? What, do we really want to cross that line and go up against the big boys, right?
You've actually done something similar to this, haven't you, Julian? Like not to this scale, but going over an apartment.
That was like extremely mild by comparison, because this is just going into the property where there is a rule when you buy property, there is a time period where you can check for defects. And that was what I was going into my property to check defects, and that was about it, and listing it all down. And this guy takes it one step further.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm wondering whether or not the company has a, you know, appropriate policy or SOP with regards to dealing with customers' grievances, you know, whether or not he has first, you know, engaged the company saying that he's not happy, and then after a while they ignored it, and then it got to this point, or whether or not he just went straight to going.
Well, this is about false marketing, right? Because he was promised apparently good quality marble floorings and high class furniture. He didn't get it, and he was very, very angry about it.
But there's one thing. It's one thing to be frustrated with you know, false marketing. They, you know, maybe they sold it as a luxury property, and he came in and he found that it wasn't especially luxurious. So there's one thing to be frustrated, and another thing to just behave badly, because that's what I felt when I watched this video over the weekend, was that it was just very much bad behavior, because you're essentially taking out your frustrations on people who weren't responsible for it. They're not directly accountable. Like, so I think at one point in some of the videos, there were actual employees from the management council present, and they had to bear the brunt of his tirade practically. And what can they actually do? They're front of house, essentially. They weren't the ones who made the decisions, who put in the flooring. So it's. I don't feel like this was an appropriate response.
Yeah. So I think it's very interesting, this discussion about whose bad behavior it is, right? Because when you buy something from a big corporation, in this case, I think I believe they named and shamed the developer, mm-hmm. which is Tropicana, who goes out there and sell you products, promising you certain benefits from it, right? And it turns out that after you purchase, and no doubt in this case with a lot of money, that it's not the case, and therefore the source of the bad behavior came from the big corporation itself, emanated from there. It so happened that this guy is a pretty powerful and rich guy, and who doesn't care about the effects of his actions, right? For the rest of us who subscribe to certain broadband services, who in the past decade, you know, subscribed to a certain cable channel and got very bad service for it, we were not in a position to do anything about it. And this guy did something about it in a video and got a viral response out of it, with agreement, I suppose, from a lot of the netizens out there.
Yeah, but again, there are other avenues, though. I mean, I can't help but think whether or not this is the only... You know,
okay,
this
what
is,
are the other avenues?
I mean, there could be. Like I said, that's why I was questioning whether or not there are SOP in place, you know, within the company to deal with such grievances, right? But at the same time, yeah, number one, there's mediators, there's, you know, you can go for arbitration, and also there's
really?
Legal.
I mean, those are options. Think of somebody from the M40 or the B40 group going for arbitration. Can you imagine that situation? No, I mean, I can't, right?
But see, he's not from the M40 or the B40. I think we've established that he is clearly someone who could easily afford the apartment and was expecting something a lot better than what he got. I'm not saying that there wasn't bad behavior, perhaps on the part of the developer, but that's not a justification for following it up with bad behavior of your own. You know, you should. It's like, you should be the bigger person in the situation. You don't have to stoop to that kind of level.
Okay, it's good manners you're talking about, right?
Essentially, yeah. You know, call it social mores or whatever you like.
I think it's hard to have good manners when... You see, property is a huge investment for mm-hmm. a lot of people. You know, there are enough people being duped in the property sector because they pay their life savings for the down payment, and then the developer runs away. There is no recourse for a lot of these people, because this is a capitalistic buyer's beware market, right? If before you buy a product or make an investment, you got to be aware of the risks. And what happens to these people who get duped by such developers who run away? They have no recourse, absolutely none. And in those instances, this video is a representation of that anger, right?
So what did you do, Julian? Because you mentioned that you, when you went to go through your apartment and check through for defects, what was the follow-up from
okay,
that?
Okay, that was just procedural. Yeah. And this company corrected those defects, mm-hmm. you know. I didn't go berserk at the time. But I mean, on a parallel level, I still am deeply frustrated by a lot of services that exist in Malaysia. And they're just absolutely not up to par. I want to do the equivalent of breaking chairs with my broadband service, for example. You know,
just throw the decoder out the window.
Yes, I think
exactly. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah.
But you raised a point. I think developers should be aware of the customers that they're dealing with. I mean, you're talking about customers that are spending hundreds of thousands of ringgit, or you know, and that's a lot of money. And you can understand how people could get frustrated, and something that should be anticipated, whether or not they have the right people to deal with. Again, grievances.
But it's not just the literal sense of what's happening, right? The metaphorical, what we go through metaphorically with the other services in Malaysia, the monopolies that exist in Malaysia. What if your Grab driver is late and you've got to send your wife to the hospital for some emergency? What kind of recourse do you have against what is perceived to be a big monopoly? You know, high-speed broadband, in the past, Astro, you know, we have not gotten the service that we want. So everyone is now willing to cut the cord and go with Netflix or Disney simply because they just get so much more out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, food for thought. I think we have a few comments coming in. And, you know, it's fair on either side of the divide as well. So just tell us what you think about this viral video of a businessman or a millionaire who went berserk in the property that he bought. We'll be coming back with more discussion after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Thanks for staying with us on The Morning Run. You're with Julian Ng, Lin Mark and Shahz Abdullah. On this happy Monday morning, we've been talking about viral videos as well as cutting the cord. Disney is coming into the fray. And thank you for all your messages. Let's look at some of them.
Yeah, so we got some WhatsApp, and some of them are for, this is with regards to the video of the millionaire who was unhappy with their property. And I think a lot of people were on his side in some ways. I mean, several of them. For example, Carol, we've got Sue, we've got Jolene, and Nelson, quite a number of them who texted in saying that, I guess, you know, when you're being nice to these developers, you're not going to get anything from them.
Yeah, I think Nelson took a slightly different view here. He said to the developers out there, please don't oversell most of the time. Your brochure does not reflect the actual product. But he says the uncle was too angry. He had the nuts to go out with that video, but Nelson wouldn't do that.
Yeah, no, we have a tweet as well from Satya Nara asking me, so Lin, what bad behavior? Because I was saying that essentially what this gentleman is doing is that he's throwing bad behavior after bad behavior. Satya Nara asks, have you spent your life savings to buy a property? If you have not, you should refrain from commenting on the issue. It's true, you know, there is a certain level of frustration that I can understand to a certain extent. It's also just... it's just, you know, bad service, as you mentioned earlier, Jules. Because
I think you raise a good point, Lin. Even though we disagree, mm-hmm. we disagree about it. I think it's a very good point because this is about personal anger. And so the original question I asked was, how far would you take your personal activism? Right. For example, before the general elections last year, a lot of people were angry, and to a certain extent, everyone became an activist, you know, yeah. whether they were a keyboard warrior or they were out there helping out with the elections. But then again, there is also something to be said about good behavior in public. And you raise an absolutely good point here.
So the thing is, right, I when I was in university, I spent time as a waitress. So yeah. I was also on the service side of things. And I had people come into the cafe where I worked and threaten to slap me because I didn't give them a table that they wanted. And that wasn't down to me. That was a management decision that I was just bringing forward to the customers. So perhaps that informs my opinions on whether...
Which is fair enough.
On what constitutes bad behavior and whether or not you should take action against the corporation responsible for it or the people or just, you know, the small people that the corporations hire.
Yeah. And also, I mean, just relating to that, I mean, let's talk about telecommunication. I mean, over this past few months, there's been a lot of talk about quality of service with telecommunication. A lot of people have started submitting their complaints. And then once, if those complaints were ignored, they take it to social media again. I think it's one of the avenues. And then us as a radio, we've brought in regulators to come and speak and engage. You know, you can see some actions being taken. For an example, penalty and compounds have been passed on to some of the service providers. Not saying that you know, this goes across the board, but there's something, some models out there. And also, we got some. WhatsApp tweet, about the web. For an example, we got one from Prashant Kamla Nathan. Now he's saying that, hey, on Netflix, there's also Malay and Hindi Tamil series as well. We should be a bit more inclusive in speaking about them. And absolutely, I mean, there's Korean, Chinese. It's quite an attractive package, to be honest.
Yeah, I've seen a few Korean and Chinese movies on Netflix, but the question still remains whether our grand aunties or grandmothers would know how to navigate Netflix. Another message from Intan saying that she has stopped owning a TV or buying papers since 1997. there should be a song title to that, since 1997. And all those paper giants are closing down. Never underestimate the power of consumerism. Thank you for all your messages. And here's You Give Love a Bad Name by Bon Jovi, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.